At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy speculation and advice. Now, along with the guys from GuillotineLeagues.com, here's your host, Paul Charchian.
Welcome to the first round of the playoffs. Yes, we're finally here. You've been working for 14 weeks, and now it's do or die. Every week counts. We're here to help. I'm Paul Charchian, co-host today, Brian Johnson and Thor Nystrom. Hey, guys.
What's up, boys? I think everyone has worked very hard. The hardest anyone has ever worked to make the playoffs this year in fantasy football.
It's been a tough road.
Yeah.
It has been a tough road. If you made it in, congratulations. I'll say this, though. The big mistake that I think people make is they get to the playoffs and they feel a certain sense of, like, entitlement. That because they've gotten their roster to the playoffs, that they're done. They don't need to do anything anymore. They're going to just start the guys that got you there. You can't stop working now.
No.
This is the wrong time.
This is where the work begins.
That's right. So don't feel like you got to just go with the guys that got you there. You know, were you the one that pivoted to Zamir White, on Thursday night? Those are the kinds of moves that are going to give you playoff wins.
Correct.
We're here to help. We're going to break down all 15 of the remaining games, including the Saturday schedule. We will give you the 9 players upon whom you can take a chance, and we'll answer 3 tough questions later in this show. Brian, let's jump right into the matchups. Pittsburgh Steelers taking on the Colts. The 1-2 punch of Najee Harris and Jalen Warden were pretty much stopped last week. What do you think of the running backs in this game against the Colts?
Yeah, it's a better matchup this week for Warren and Harris. Both should get decent usage against the Colts, who have yielded the 4th most rush attempts by running backs, and they've allowed 16 total touchdowns to the position. That's the 3rd most. Starting with Warren, among running backs with 100-plus carries, Warren ranks 1st in yards per carry, yards after contact per carry, and missed tackles forced per carry. But he continues to split time with Harris, mm-hmm. who has been less efficient, but
still not bad.
No, posting decent fantasy numbers. So I got a C on both of them, but they're going to continue to eat each other's lunch. So just a C for Warren and Harris, and a C for Deontay Johnson. And I got George Pickens on the bench. So going back to Johnson, since his return in week 7, Pickens has an 18% target share, which is not a lot. Actually, it's kind of bad. And Pickens hasn't scored since week 8. And during that same span, Pickens has topped 60 receiving yards just once, so I'm just starting Johnson out of these two, who scored in back-to-back games, and it's a fairly neutral matchup. The Colts allowing nearly 150 yards and a touchdown per game to opposing wide receivers, so I think Johnson's a safer play,
mm-hmm.
so I'm off Pickens this week. I will give Pat Freiermuth a C. The Colts have surrendered just 2 tight end touchdowns all season, but they are allowing more than 5.5 catches and 55 yards per game to the position. So Muth is viable in the wasteland. Mitch Trubisky,
mm-mm.
not viable.
I don't have my sad trombonesky.
People, it's ingrained in their brains at this point.
Oh,
they can hear it already.
Sad trombone.
We don't have time for it. We're beyond Trubisky. We'll talk about him.
I can't continue.
Over to the Colts side, Zach Moss, he gets a B. As expected, Moss has been getting bell cow usage with Jonathan Taylor out the last 2 games. He's averaging 19 touches, Moss is, on nearly 90% of the snaps, but he's only averaging 57 combo yards with no touchdowns over the last 2 games.
Yeah, tough opponents, though.
Tough opponents.
Yep.
a little better matchup here, but just based on volume alone, you're going to start Zach Moss against anyone at this point. So I'm going to give him a B. I don't think he has A upside this week, but he should provide a safe B floor, or at least a C floor. Over to the wide receivers, Michael Pittman's the only one that's getting a starting grade for me for the Colts. Pittman is averaging 11.5 targets over his last seven games. He's just been balling out during that span. This is not the best matchup. Pittsburgh hasn't allowed a wide receiver touchdown in four straight, but Juju Smith-Schuster and Ja'Marr Chase both had at least 80 yards against the Steelers over the last 2 weeks, so that should be a safe floor for Pittman, so I'm still going to give him a B here. But Josh Downs, he's on the bench. His yardage totals over the last five, 32, 14, 43, 40, and 10 with no touchdowns. Had a nice run, but he's just a dynasty stash right now. All the tight ends are on the bench because the Colts deploy four of them. None named Jelani Woods.
I know.
I'm sorry.
That's killing
it. It's only because of injury, though. It's unfortunate. And Gardner Minshew, I was close to giving him a C, but with elite edge rushers, T.J. Watt and Alex Highsmith expected to play, I just can't. You know, I can't tell you to start Gardner Minshew in the playoffs.
So. I don't think I would do it either.
That's it for that one.
Jets take on the Dolphins in what could be a significant rain game. Thor, are we chasing the box score from AFC Offensive Player of the Week, Zach Wilson? I can't believe that string of words just came out of my mouth.
Yeah, I can't believe I heard it. We're not. This is a tougher matchup for Zach Wilson for sure. You're alluding to it. 301 passing yards and two touchdowns against the Texans last week. But boy, did the Texans have a putrid secondary, which we're going to be talking about later on. I give Wilson a C here because of the tougher match. He did show something last week, but Dolphins have allowed the seventh fewest yards per attempt since week 10. So a tougher matchup, like I said. Garrett Wilson, I'm going to give him a B. He was the biggest benefactor of Zach Wilson's resurgence last week. Season-high 108 receiving yards on 14 targets. This is a game script that is going to skew very pass-heavy. Obviously, the Jets are big underdogs in this one. But, you know, again, tougher matchup in terms of the on-field thing. Miami's allowed the sixth most opponent-adjusted fantasy points to wide receivers this year. And contextually, very important here to note, Jalen Ramsey's been balling out since he came back. He's only allowed a 42% catch rate since
his
return.
That's nothing.
Nuts. Yeah.
Wow.
He's not going to be shadowing Wilson here, but they're going to be heads up on each other quite a bit in this game. You have to ding Garrett Wilson a little bit. I give him a B. Also give a B to Breece Hall. Breece Hall, fantasy running back 15 so far, number 5 in yards after contact per attempt. The Dolphins are top 5, though, in suppressing explosive runs and yards after the contact since week 9. So we're going to stick with a B on that one. Moving to the Dolphins, I give Tua a C in this one. Last time he played the Jets, he threw two interceptions. The Jets have allowed an NFL low yards per attempt since week 8. And also, Tua's been trending down, as you guys know. In terms of fantasy, he's been QB 16 or worse in 3 of his last 5 games. And the Tyreek Hill status, you know, is still up in the air. I give Tyreek a B if he plays, but he missed significant time, as you guys know, against the Titans last week after he injured his ankle in the first quarter. Only ended up playing 46% of the snaps in that game. He said afterwards that he wasn't able to cut and change directions like normal.
And that, by the way, that's his game.
That's his entire game.
And so, you take away his movement. That's right.
Yeah, it severely hampers him. He has not practiced this week. He's officially questionable. Mike McDaniel was talking to the media, like, don't read too much into him not practicing. So you could see him out there. But if he does play, you got to curb your enthusiasm because it's a tougher matchup against this Jets defense. And he's obviously not going to be 100%. So B if he plays. I'm giving Jalen Waddle a B as well in this one. He's going to get pounded with the targets if Cheetah is out, but they don't ever look at him in the red zone, even when Cheetah's not on the field. So that's cut down on Waddle's fantasy value this year, only at 8 red zone targets all season. The last time against the Jets, though, he did go 8-for-8 on targets for 114 receiving yards. Devin Achane, I'm giving him a C if he plays. He's the other big one who's up in the air right now with his status. Questionable with a toe injury. Missed practice on Wednesday. He did return Thursday and Friday, but was limited. workload's going to be slash if he does end up going in this one. Playable if you're desperate, if you know that he's going to be playing in this game, but monitor that status. Raheem Mostert, I'm going to give him a B. He played 64% of the snaps with 22 touches and 100 total yards last week. Mm-hmm. And this is a game where there could be grand slam potential for him if Achane is out. Big if there. Jets have a run funnel defense. Opponents average more rush attempts per game against the Jets than anyone else in the NFL. We're giving Mostert a B.
Yeah, this is going to be a tricky matchup. I get the feeling one or two Dolphins is going to have a down game against a very good defense.
Yep.
And Dolphins that carried you into the playoffs, going to let some people down this week.
Agreed.
Bears take on the Browns, and this is two really, really good defenses. And if you think Chicago's not, you're wrong. Continue listening on. We'll start at the Bears' side of the ball, though. Justin Fields, better matchup than it appears at first glance. Cleveland has allowed consecutive three-touchdown passing games after giving up none of those in the first 11 games. The Browns have allowed five quarterback rushing touchdowns. That's third most in the league. And since returning from injury, Fields averaging 11 designed runs per game, 74 rushing yards per game. We're getting RB2 rushing production out of Justin Fields. So B grade right there, even though it is generally a pretty tough passing matchup. Made tougher by the ankle injury to DJ Moore. You're going to want to follow his status as a game-time decision. But it's a brutal matchup against an elite secondary, especially if Denzel Ward, who's questionable, can return from his shoulder injury. But even if he can't, cornerbacks Martin Emerson and Greg Newsom have played great over the last 5 weeks. They're giving up a less than 60% catch rate and a 44 passer rating. That's it. They've combined to allow zero touchdowns and four interceptions over the course of the season. Your glimmer of hope here is that Cleveland plays almost exclusively man coverage, and DJ Moore is the seventh highest graded wide receiver versus man coverage by Pro Football Focus. We've got a C grade on DJ Moore, assuming he's able to go. Cole Kmet clocks in. Only two tight ends have posted big games against the Browns. Kmet clocking with a C. Mark Andrews and Evan Engram last week had big games against the Browns. Everybody else has just been duds. The other tight ends are averaging 1.5 catches for 17 yards a game. It's nothing.
Evan Engram essentially octupled the per-game averages.
Yeah.
Catches, yards, touchdowns last week.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Kmet has seen at least 7 targets in 5 of the past 6 games, but half of those are with Tyler Bagent, who was dumping the ball off to him constantly. Fields has got a lot more up-and-down usage with Kmet. I still think he's a playable entity here in parks. They don't have a lot of alternatives to pass to. C grade on Kmet. We'll talk about Donta Foreman next segment. Let's go over to the Cleveland side. Joe Flacco has been shockingly good. It's funny how he walked into this offense and looked more comfortable in the Browns' offense than the quarterbacks who were there all year.
For sure.
He's thrown for 565 yards and 5 touchdowns. But this is a very tough matchup against a massively improved Bears secondary that's held their last two quarterbacks they face to less than 200 passing yards and 6 combined interceptions. This is a tricky matchup for Flacco. Only a C grade for him. Let's talk to his receivers who all get C grades as well, including David Njoku, averaging nearly 8 targets per game in his last 3 games, including season highs with Joe Flacco. Since way back in Week 7, the Bears are much improved against tight ends, allowing just 35 yards to the position per game. They've given up half a touchdown per game, which isn't bad, and that's your best reason to start Njoku here, and it's why he still gets a C grade as the prospect of a touchdown. Amari Cooper's coming off a 14-target game, but he's going to get lighter usage here for sure. He probably gets shadow coverage from emerging elite cornerback Jalen Johnson, who's just turned into a menace. Just 1 score all season allowed, and he's giving up a 48% catch rate. Opposing number one outside wideouts haven't topped 57 receiving yards against Chicago since Week 2.
Wow.
So 57 feels like your absolute max for Amari Cooper, and that's why he's just a C grade. Elijah Moore comes in with a C grade. Slot receivers avoid Jalen Johnson, and they fare better than their outside counterparts. Although I will note, Amon-Ra St. Brown just got held to a season low last week. So even Elijah Moore, not a sure thing. Moore has topped 42 yards in 5 straight games, which I like. And he's had the uptick in usage and better passing, frankly, from Joe Flacco. But he scored just once all season. C grade there. And then the last guy I want to talk about is Jerome Ford. The Bears have turned into just a fantastic run-stuffing defense. No back has topped 76 yards all year. Although both of the Detroit backs hit 66 yards last week. I'll mention that. Chicago's only given up 3 rushing touchdowns since back in week 3. Ford has caught 8 of 9 targets from Joe Flacco, so I like that. And the Bears allow the most receiving yards to opposing running backs, 58 per game. So you start Ford in PPR formats with a C grade. When we come back, take a chance on me. 9 players, not normally in your starting lineup. I already tipped my hand for one of them. Find out who the other 8 are when we come back to Fantasy Football Weekly.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Not normally in your starting lineup. Find out who they are right here, beginning at the quarterback position, and Brian Johnson.
Take a chance. Forget about it. I got Tommy DeVito all at the right. Saints over here. Opposing quarterbacks are averaging around 200 passing yards and 1.5 passing touchdowns per game against the Saints. That's decent production, but the real angle here is the rushing. New Orleans has allowed the second most rushing yards to quarterbacks. 5 of the last 6 they faced have run for at least 40 yards. And I'm also going to guess Tommy D remembers that the Saints decided to pick Jake Haener over him with the 127th overall pick in the 4th round. Spite game incoming. And let me take this a little further.
All right.
Spite game last week for DeVito against the Packers. They took a quarterback, and Thor will know all these quarterbacks. Then it's the Saints.
Yeah.
And then Eagles, someone, everyone he faces, and the Rams, Eagles, Rams, Eagles, they all took a quarterback in the 4th round or later over Tommy DeVito. He's going to run the table on all these fools.
All right. Thor, you're taking a chance on me, quarterback.
I'm going with Will Levis, and this one, another guy who's taking ahead of Tommy DeVito, and I can't believe I'm stumping for him here. Levis and the Titans are playing the Texans this week. Since Levis got into the starting lineup, he's been a fantasy QB too. You know, super flex league, startable.
Yeah, okay.
Fringish, you know, 12-team superflex, QB2. But there's a possibility that he could be a QB1, I think, in standard 12-team leagues this week against a rancid Texans pass defense. And for anyone out there right now who's thinking that is a crazy thing to say, Zach Wilson threw for 300-plus yards and 2 touchdowns against his Texans secondary last week. They're very, very bad. The Texans have allowed the second highest yards per attempt since week 9. And the last thing, the Titans are going to be wearing those Oilers uniforms.
You want a piece of that?
They're
going to
be looking
you?
Flashy this week.
Yeah, in Houston, too. That's like a. It's not a revenge cool game. It's like a uniform, just like.
I like this.
I don't
statement.
Like it.
I love
I don't
it.
Like it.
I do it.
I don't
it.
Like it. Matthew Stafford is kind of an obvious pick. I went obvious choice here. So just bear me out. Washington is the opponent. They're the league's worst pass defense, and it's not close. They've allowed the most passing touchdowns, 30. With 4 weeks to go in the season, Washington has already allowed more passing touchdowns than 31 of 32 teams did all of last season. 9 of the last 10 quarterbacks to face Washington have thrown for multiple touchdowns, and the only guy who didn't was Mac Jones, and he does not count. After a very slow start, Stafford's been red hot. 4 touchdowns, 3 touchdowns, 3 touchdowns the last 3 weeks. I think he's an obvious start. In fact, I think he's my number 5 or 6 fantasy quarterback this week. Let's go to the running back position. Brian.
I've got Atlanta's Tyler Allgeier at the Panthers. These teams first met back in week 1, and Allgeier outproduced Bijan Robinson. Allgeier had 94 combo yards and 2 touchdowns on 18 touches. Bijan has been getting more of the work as of late, as we all know, but there should be enough meat on the bone in this very juicy matchup, which is going to be played in like torrential rain. They're saying like 2 to 3 inches, 20-mile-per-hour winds, and no one throws on the Panthers anyway, who have allowed the most rushing yards and rushing touchdowns to running backs. And that's pretty easy to do when you've yielded the second most red zone touches to running backs and the second most touches in goal to go scenarios. So Tyler Algier viable this week.
All right, let's go to Thor. Your take a chance of me running back.
Let's get another share of those Oilers uniforms.
All right.
We're going with Tajay Spears.
A frequent appearances. I think he's on second only to Baker Mayfield in take a chance on me appearances.
Home run hitter. 13 touches for 118 yards on 66% of the snaps last week. Mm-hmm. There's an opportunity for another good game here. The Texans not only have the mediocre run defense, but they're bottom 10 in the league in receptions allowed and receiving yardage allowed, to opposing running backs. Tajay's been getting some of those receiving looks, and he can break off any touch that he gets for a touchdown. The game script is also going to be in his favor here with the Texans starting Davis Mills and that injury-decimated wide receiving core.
Houston's going to get rolled.
Exactly. Yeah, and Spears is going to get the touches, and he has been incredible on a per-touch basis this year.
Donta Foreman is the player I was alluding to last segment. Last week, he was the clear back for lead back for Chicago, 55% snap rate, and Roschon Johnson and Khalil Herbert combined for 4 carries. Since returning from injury in week 11, Foreman's gotten 100% of the team's carries from inside the 5-yard line, and a touchdown's a very real possibility here. Cleveland has allowed 6 rushing touchdowns in the last 5 games. They've also started giving up more yards. 97 running back rushing yards per game over the last 5 weeks. That's a much more yielding Browns run defense than we were used to. Let's go to the receivers. Brian, who you got?
I'm pairing Wandale Robinson with Tommy DeVito at the Saints. Slot receivers have been showing up week over week against the Saints. Adam Thielen, 5 catches, 74 yards. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 49 yards and a touchdown. Darnell Mooney, 5 catches for 82 yards. Josh Downs, 7 catches for 72 yards. Christian Kirk, 6 for 90 and a touchdown. Robert Woods, score against the Saints. The list goes on and on. So Wandale Robinson, who's also balling out. And they're getting the ball in his hands, whether they're throwing it to him, handing it off. So I like DeVito and Robinson a lot, pairing them up.
All right. Thor, you're taking a chance with me wideout.
I'm going with Broncos wide receiver Jerry Jeudy in their game against the Lions.
He definitely qualifies, by the way,
for taking a chance on me. Yeah, obviously he's been super disappointing. So people out there who have him might be like, I'm not doing that. I'll concede he's wide receiver 61 in fantasy points per game, and Jerry Jeudy is not top 60 receiving yards since week 7. I think he gets there this week, though. There's hope because of the matchup. Jerry Jeudy leads the team. Even though he's played poorly this year, he still leads the Broncos in first read share against single high coverage. The Lions play a ton of single high coverage, and the Lions pass defense has been bad. Also, Jeudy is going to be lined up across from Lions rookie slot Brian Branch, who has allowed a passer rating of over 101 this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Would you guys care to hazard a guess? Pro Football Focus's highest rated wide receiver in the last month.
Not Jerry Jeudy, but I like the call, Thor. I'm not throwing you under the bus here.
Odell Beckham.
Ooh.
Hey, my peacock off is still alive.
Uh-huh.
Top 24 wide receiver. I called it.
Yeah, well,
is there hope?
You're not close yet.
Okay, I know.
But maybe this game will do it. 14 targets in 2 games under Joe Flacco. His biggest 2-game target total all season. And over the past 5 weeks, the Jaguars, his opponent, are bottom 5. In receptions, yards, and touchdowns allowed to wide receivers. Some recent blow-up games for outside wide receivers against Jacksonville. Last week, Amari Cooper, 14 targets, 7 catches. The previous week, Ja'Marr Chase, 11 catches, 149 yards, touchdown. Previous week, Nico Collins, 104 yards, touchdown. Odell Beckham feels very safe here as somebody you would not normally start, but you could this week. Let's go back to the matchups. The Atlanta Falcons taking on the Carolina Panthers. You told us that you like Tyler Algier already. I imagine Bijan Robinson, you will like him even better.
Yeah.
And for many of the same reasons.
Many of the same reasons. Again, no one throws against Carolina. They don't have to. They're so easy to run against. And the weather and is going to be a factor.
And they have a really good secondary.
They do. Yeah.
They do. Yeah.
I'm not going to fault them.
They've got quality players in that secondary, too.
But back to Bijan, he gets the A. I just said this I'm not even going to go through
Don't
the stats.
All
yeah,
the same
A for Bijan. Algier was my take a chance on me running back. Sadly, Drake London, the only starting grade I'm giving out in the passing game, so that means Kyle Pitts on the bench. Back to London. He looked amazing last week, but this is a bad matchup on paper, especially with these weather concerns. No one throws on the Panthers, and they do have a good secondary. That's why opposing wideouts are averaging less than 11 catches per game against Carolina, so I can't fault you if you have a better for sitting London if you have a better option, but again, not a great matchup, so just the softest of C's for London. And obviously Desmond Ridder on the bench as well, despite his blow-up game last week, but that was an anomaly. Over to the Carolina side, I just have one starting grade, and it's on Chuba Hubbard. Hubbard has 48 carries over his last two games for nearly 200 yards and two touchdowns. Bell cow usage, but this is a brutal matchup. The Falcons still haven't surrendered a rushing touchdown to a running back.
Yeah,
the Ravens have surrendered three, and that's the second fewest.
Mm-hmm.
Just incredible. But Atlanta is middle of the road when it comes to rushing and combo yards allowed. So Hubbard should be viable if his touch the total
80 yards and no touchdown.
Yeah, he's
total yards.
He's not an RB1 by any means, but he's flex worthy this week. And then again, everyone else on the bench, even Adam Thielen, that epic run from weeks 2 through 6 was a long time ago. Week 6 was the last time Thielen scored or topped 100 yards, and the Falcons are vicious against wide receivers, allowing the third fewest receptions and yards to the position, and Thielen only had 2 catches for 12 scoreless yards in the first meeting, so he's on the bench, unfortunately.
All right, Thor.
With Mingo, Hurst, Bryce Young, all those guys.
Yeah,
too.
The guys that you don't care about. Thor, Houston taking on Tennessee. You've already touched on this a number of times and take a chance on me, but not the Houston side.
Yeah.
With Davis Mills at the helm,
you're not taking a chance on him.
Who am I? Is there anybody to start here?
Noah Brown, if you need it, if he plays, but he's questionable as well with a knee injury, limited in practice this week, and he's been a ghost the past 2 weeks, been a little bit dinged up, but he's going to get all the usage here, wide receiver one, if he targets, if he does play, because Nico Collins and Tank Dell are both out, but of course he's going to be playing with Davis Mills, so how much will that matter? I'm going to give him a C if he plays. Dalton Schultz, I'm going to give him a C as well. We know he is returning to the field after missing the last two weeks with a hamstring injury. Schultz was taken off the injury report. So he's going to be playing. He was a red zone target hog earlier this season. But how many times are the Texans going to reach the red zone in this game?
That's the worry, right?
Yeah. Yeah. The Titans also allow the second fewest fantasy points per game to tight ends. So not the best matchup. Motor Singletary, I'm going to give him a C, has supplanted our boy Damian Pierce's lead back. It hurts to say. Singletary had 65 total yards on 57% of the snaps last week. The Titans' run defense has been playing better recently. Number 2 stuff rate since week 10, so can only give Motor a C. On the Titans side, Levis and Spears were my take a chance on me guys. DeAndre Hopkins, I give him an A. In 7 games with Will Levis, Hopkins is averaging 75 yards and a touchdown per game. He's also been targeted 24 times in the past 2 games. He's like the baby's blanket for Will Levis. And the Texans, of course, have the atrocious pass defense, which we talked about before.
And also a revenge game, of course, too, for DeAndre Hopkins.
Exactly.
Against his original team.
That's right. Chigakonkwo, we're going to give him a C. He's been one of the winners of the Titans turning to Levis. Chig has 2.3 yards per route run since week 10. The Texans allow the third most fantasy points per game to opposing tight ends. It's a solid matchup for Chig. The concern is 0 touchdowns this year, and they're not really targeting him in the red zone. So you got to ding him a little bit for that. And then lastly, Derrick Henry, I give him a B. RB12 in fantasy points per game so far this year. Another strong game's coming here against the Texans' run defense that has struggled in recent games. Texans have missed the 6 most tackles per attempt since week 10.
And his history against the Texans is absolutely insane. I mean, he scored at least once in like 5 straight.
No, he's kind of like half of his last 5 performances are 200-yard rushing performances.
Yeah, big game could be coming.
Yeah, let's hope that. You know, the past is not always indicative of the future, but
I think he's got one more in him. One more in him for the King.
200-yarder?
Yeah, come on, King. One more time.
That'd be great. When we come back, Vikings versus Panthers. Vikings have Nick Mullins under center. Does that help their... Well, breaking news. It helps compared to what they've had the past several weeks. How much? Is it enough to help some of the Vikings that you're counting on in the playoffs? Find out when we come back.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome back. Fantasy Football Weekly. Paul Charchi and Brian Johnson. Thor Nystrom with you. It's the first playoff week. We're here to try to help you make the best of it. Vikings take on the Bengals. Vikings are going to be without excellent right tackle Brian O'Neill. You'll want to be thoughtful about how that could impact this offense at least a little bit. I want to start with a player who has the potential for an absolutely gigantic game.
Can I take a guess?
Yeah.
It is time. It's tie time, right?
No.
Oh, you got to start with Ty Chandler, Charge.
Fine. I'll start with Ty Chandler. I love Ty Chandler.
No, I don't want to.
I've been banging the drum for Ty Chandler since midsummer.
That's why I thought you would have started.
All Kevin O'Connell has done is find ways to diminish his role, despite Alexander Mattison being every bit as mundane as I was feared. Mattison ruled out. Chandler, presumed starter, but they activated Myles Gaskin on Friday,
nah.
So who knows?
Nah, whatever.
I'm nervous. Cincinnati has got a bunch of middle-of-the-pack run defense metrics, but they also rank 26th in run stuff win rate, which could suggest that there's a little something to be done here. Vikings are not a great run-blocking team, but Chandler's got a little burst, a little wiggle. Maybe he'll be able to get something done anyway. Bengals allow 5 rushing touchdowns in their last 5 games. I'd love to see Chandler get in the end zone here. Chandler's a better receiver than Mattison. He could chip in 4 or 5 receptions without Mattison on the field at all. So I've got a C grade on Chandler. Mostly, I'm more worried about Kevin O'Connell than I am about the Bengals. But maybe that's just totally ill-founded, and we'll find out. I hope Chandler touches the ball 20 times. I'd be very happy about that. All right, now let's go to the player sitting at a potentially explosive game for the Minnesota Vikings, T.J. Hockenson.
Mm.
Get a load of this, and credit Scott Fish for this stat. As a starter in San Francisco, Nick Mullins, average game to George Kittle. He played 16 games in San Francisco. His average game to George Kittle, 7 catches, 100 yards. Oh, baby. If any of that's coming to T.J. Hockenson, I'm interested. But you might be saying, well, but what about that Bengals defense? How about this? Bengals have allowed the most yards to opposing tight ends, and get a load of the recent games by tight ends against the Bengals. Last week, Mo Alie-Cox, touchdown. Week before, Evan Engram, 9 catches, 82 yards, first touchdown of the year. Week before that, Pat Freiermuth, season highs, 9 catches, 120 yards. Week before that, Mark Andrews got hurt. Week before that, Dalton Schultz, 71 yards. Week before that, Dalton Kincaid, 10 catches, 81 yards. Week before that, George Kittle, 150 yards against the Bengals. Mm. T.J. Hockenson, my highest-rated tight end this week. What about the rest of the Vikings receivers? Justin Jefferson. He's going to play through that chest injury sustained on Josh Dobbs' murder pass. Feeling a bit gun-shy after last week, but...
Murder pass.
It was a murder pass. Cincinnati is Pro Football Focus's 3rd lowest graded coverage unit, but they do have some talent, including veteran cornerback Chidobe Awuzie, who's been very good, allowing just 1 touchdown since week 2, an average of just 25 yards in his coverage. Nick Mullins comes in. Obviously, that changes things, but get this. Nick Mullins' highest passer rating on deep balls of longer than 20 yards. That makes me optimistic that we're going to get some of the downfield abilities from Justin Jefferson we haven't seen since he and Kirk Cousins were playing together. B grade for Justin Jefferson. C grade from Jordan Addison. Now, with Jefferson back, Addison's going to see fewer targets, but they'll be better targets because Jefferson's going to be commanding a lot better coverage. So that makes Addison kind of a do-or-die, home-run, dart-throw kind of player against a defense allowing the highest rate of explosive plays. Over the past 5 weeks, cornerback DJ Turner has allowed the 10th most yards per game among all cornerbacks. Mullins can pass downfield, so Addison, who was giving you some deep ball production in the early parts of the season with Kirk Cousins, could snap back here with a decent game, and he's startable with a C grade. For Mullins himself, I've got a C grade on him. If I've got an A on Hockenson, a B on Jefferson, a C on Addison, I can't give a bench grade to Nick Mullins. I've got to presume he's going to be okay here. Every Bengals opposing quarterback has either scored or top 300 passing yards or both. Every one of them. When last starting, which was a while ago, for Nick Mullins, as I mentioned, the deep ball was his best asset, and I think he's going to get some deep connections here. So a C grade on Nick Mullins. Let's go over to the Bengals side. I'm going to start with the running game. Brutal matchup for Joe Mixon. Non-DeAndre Swift runners averaging 3.2 yards per carry against Minnesota. If that were applied to a full season, if you know DeAndre Swift, that performance didn't exist, the Vikings would be the best run defense in the league. They also allow only 0.3 touchdowns per game, ground and air, to opposing running backs. Similar or even better runners than Joe Mixon have been just silenced by Minnesota recently, including Josh Jacobs, Javonte Williams, Alvin Kamara, Aaron Jones, all dud games in recent weeks against the Vikings. But Mixon can catch, and the Vikings are getting dinged through the air. They've been giving up 8 receptions per game to opposing runners over the last 3 weeks. One matchup to watch, Brian. Minnesota Vikings linebacker Ivan Pace, your reigning defensive player of the week.
He's undrafted, right?
Undrafted.
Insane.
He has a homecoming game in Cincinnati on his birthday.
Ooh.
What do you think of that doubleheader?
Defensive homecoming birthday?
Yeah.
I wish I was in more IDP leagues right now.
Okay. Joe Mixon, C grade. Let's go to the passing game. Obviously, Jake Browning's been, it's a fantastic story, including a league-high 88% adjusted completion percentage over the last 3 weeks. But this is a tricky matchup. Vikings are ranked 4th in pass coverage by Pro Football Focus, and they've surrendered multiple passing touchdowns in only 2 of their last 8 games. During that span, they've allowed just 6 passing touchdowns to 9 interceptions. Now, Browning's rushing might help. And that's something, he is a good scrambler, and he could help out a little bit that way. But I can only get you to a B grade on Browning. I consider it a C here, but I think there might be enough between rushing and passing to get him up to a B grade. Speaking of B grades, Ja'Marr Chase. Even with last week's dud, he's still averaging a solid 86 yards under Browning. And despite the Vikings' D dominating weak offenses the last 3 weeks, elite wide receivers are still doing okay. Cam Sutton, 66 yards and a score. DJ Moore, 114 yards on 11 catches. Devontae Adams, 53 yards on 7 catches. 7 catches, good. So, yeah, it feels like a B grade for Chase. He says he's the best receiver in this game.
Yeah, he was asked, I'm going to paraphrase a little, but, you know, you and former LSU teammate Justin Jefferson are the two best receivers. What do you think about that? And he's like, no, I'm the best.
I'm the best.
I'm the best.
There you go.
It's going to be quite the showdown. I'm excited. Yeah,
that's a little bulletin board material for Justin Jefferson. T. Higgins' last touchdown was? Anybody?
22?
Almost. Week 2.
Week 2. Yeah.
Week 2.
I got the 2 part, right?
Yep, you're close. Browning just doesn't seem to have that rapport for any of his receivers outside of Ja'Marr Chase. Higgins has just 2 and 3 catches in his 2 games with Browning. Outside spots can pay dividends against Minnesota. He'd face up against the Caleb Evans and Byron Murphy, and you know those are favorable matchups. Murphy's allowed the 3rd most touchdowns of all cornerbacks, so I've got a C grade on Higgins, but honestly, his past production would not suggest that that's even possible here.
All right, let's get into this Irv Smith revenge game.
Well, we're not going to do that.
I know.
You know, Browning does love his tight ends. Tanner Hudson is, if you're in a real pinch, that is a possibility.
He doesn't love Irv Smith.
No, nobody loves Irv Smith. Tyler Boyd's on the bench. He's done nothing with Browning, and the Vikings are top 10 in stopping opposing slot receivers. Chase Brown, I love what we're seeing in splashes of use, but he's not getting enough carries, and the matchup's difficult. We're going to talk more about Chase Brown later in the show. Let's go to the Giants taking on the Saints. Brian.
Yeah, we'll dive right into the passing game real quick again. Tommy DeVito is my take-a-chance-on-me quarterback. He's going to be a spicy meatball in this one. I like Wandale Robinson. He's my take-a-chance-on-me wide receiver. Darren Waller expects to play, but you can't trust Darren Waller to finish the game.
I need to see a full game for him.
So he is on the bench, but Saquon Barkley is not going to give Barkley an A. He's been looking great as of late, and the Saints' run defense has not looked great. Over their last three games, New Orleans has surrendered 523 combo yards and three total touchdowns to running backs. Again, that's over the last three games. That's, what, 170 combo yards per game they're allowing over their last three?
That's shocking for the Saints that normally have a pretty good run defense.
Yeah, they've fallen off big time, so I love Barkley this week with the A. Over to the Saints side, I love their running back, not quite as much as Barkley, so Alvin Kamara, just a B. Since week 9, New York has allowed the fifth most rushing yards per game, the third highest explosive run rate, and the fourth highest yards after contact per attempt. But, you know, Kamara, it's really more about the air production for him, and the Giants have only surrendered one receiving touchdown to running backs. But Kamara is not your stereotypical receiving back. His 63 catches are top 15 among wide receivers, not running backs. But I just don't see the A ceiling for Kamara, so I'm going to give him a B in this matchup. Over to the wide receivers, it gets a little dicey here. Chris Olave, he hasn't practiced all week. They're still calling him questionable. If he plays, I will give him a C. If he's active, the Giants are allowing nearly 15 catches, 180 yards, and a touchdown per game to opposing wide receivers. Those are good numbers for the opposition. So that's why I like Rashid Shaheed either way. He gets a C. He is expected to make his return from injury. So C for Shaheed, C for Olave if he plays. If Olave doesn't play, I'm so close to giving Lynn Bowden a C, but he's more of your...
A.T.
Perry?
Perry, yeah.
No, not A.T. Perry. Lynn Bowden has been running more routes, seeing more targets, all of that. So, but I'm still going to keep him on the bench, but he's a DFS dart for you out there for you daily players. Lynn Bowden, probably near bare minimum. I like him as a cheap option. Taysom Hill, expected to make his return too, but there's no analysis you can do on Taysom Hill. It's just like you plug him in and pray. So I'm not a very religious guy, so he's on the bench for me, as is Derek Carr. The end. To each their own, though.
All right.
Happy holidays.
Denver Broncos taking on the Detroit Lions. I like parts of this Broncos passing game, Thor. You already told us that Jerry Jeudy was your take-a-chance-on-me wide receiver. What do you think about Russell Wilson in this one? I like him.
I do, too. I'm going to give him a B. I did flirt with an A on him, but I'm going to stick with the B. So the last five games for Russell Wilson, he's number two in the NFL in highly accurate throw rate. But a part of that is because the offense is skewed super conservative to help out the defense. One of the reasons the Broncos have been playing better. The Broncos haven't thrown for 200 yards in seven of their last nine games because of that. And eight of the last nine Bronco games have gone under the total in Vegas. So you don't get as much scoring. But there is an opportunity for a huge game here for Dangerous. The game script looks like it could be a shootout, and Russell's going to have to throw certainly more than he has been. And I mentioned before, the Lions' pass defense has been badly struggling. Since week 9, that pass defense, sixth worst in the NFL in allowing passing touchdowns, and they've given up the third highest passer rating in the NFL. I give Javonte Williams a C in this one. He's the RB29 in fantasy points per game.
Yeah, because he hasn't scored.
Doesn't score. Yeah, he does get the solid workload, especially last 3 weeks. Been playing 60 to 70% of the snaps. Not as good of a matchup for him against what is a much tougher Lions run defense than the pass defense. Lions have high tackling efficiency numbers. They're also number 8 in stuff rate since the midway point of the season. Cortland Sutton, I give him an A. Courtland Sutton against single high coverage this year. His first read share jumps all the way up to 28%. Lions are number six in the NFL in single high coverage. I was talking about that with Judy since the midway point of the season. This is also a great matchup for Sutton, same way that it was for Judy. Sutton, of course, on the outside, but the Lions' boundary cornerbacks stink. Cameron Sutton has given up 103 passer rating this year. Jerry Jacobs given up 108 passer rating against on targets this year. And the Lions as a team have allowed the most PPR points per target to perimeter wide receivers since week nine. Love Courtland Sutton this week.
I do too. I'm with you. You and I are in lockstep on every one of those players for the Broncos.
Love it. Jared Goff moving over to the Lions. I give him a C. His volume has dipped here in recent weeks as the turnovers have gone up a bit. Goff only has an average of 30 attempts the last two games, and this is not a great matchup for him. Mm-mm. Since week nine, the Broncos have allowed the fourth lowest passer rating and given up the second fewest passing touchdowns. Amon-Ra St. Brown, in part for this reason, I had to toggle him down to a B this week. Wide receiver five in fantasy overall season long, but rough game last week, as you guys know, only 21 receiving yards. Another down game is coming here. Broncos pass defense, they've allowed the lowest PPR points per target to opposing slots, so they're particularly good against opposing slots, but a good pass defense in general. Sam Laporta, Sammy Ballgame, my boy. A, always tight end three in fantasy points per game, and an awesome matchup for him, too. Broncos are dead last in the NFL against tight ends. Sam Laporta is going off this week. Denver, by the way, you know, you were talking about the other defense as far
Bengals.
As the tight ends.
Yeah.
The Bengals.
They've given up the most yards. I believe Denver's given up the most fantasy points.
Exactly, yeah. And Denver's allowed 10 straight tight ends to go over 30 receiving yards. So you also have the floor as well as the ceiling there. David Montgomery, I'm giving David Montgomery an A as well, just like ball game. Montgomery has scored a touchdown every game he has finished healthy except for one. There's an opportunity, of course, for him to score multiple touchdowns in this game.
There is.
This also feels like a 20-plus carry game for Montgomery. And contextually, Broncos ranked dead last with 26 fantasy points per game allowed to opposing running backs. I give Jahmyr Gibbs a B. He's averaging 83 total yards since week 10. The Lions staff has figured out how to start using him, get him out in space and everything like that. Five-plus targets in the receiving game in three of the last five games. The explosive plays are coming for Gibbs here, I think. Broncos are a bottom 10 defense in allowing explosive runs. We'll give him a B.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I have A's on both of those guys. Just the way you beat the Broncos, on the ground, ball control. I can see both of them having a big game. Jahmyr Gibbs chips in some receptions. Montgomery scores some rushing touchdowns. I think they're both sitting on really nice games here.
And their offense have been skewing that way anyway, so I totally agree.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, if you missed any part of the show, you can always get all of my player rankings, which are updated every single day at guillotineleagues.com. It's completely free. You now can't join a Guillotine League in Week 15, but... you know, you can go to the site, you can download the app, get all of the player rankings available for free, and maybe you're even alive in a Guillotine League, which would be an ideal scenario as well. Hour number two of Fantasy Football Weekly and three tough questions coming up next.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hour number two, Fantasy Football Weekly. Paul Charchi and Brian Johnson, Thor Nystrom with you. You can follow us on Twitter. I am at, well, the site formerly known as Twitter. I'm at Paul Charchi.
Twitter forever.
For me, it's
Team Twitter forever.
Yeah, it's so dumb to change these names. And by the way, I've mentioned this on the show one other time. HBO. Why would you change the name of HBO? And then, oh, by the way, like, cancel all the shows everybody likes, produce no new good shows, so that everybody hates your new name and they all cancel their subscription.
Two worst rebrandings in the history of rebranding.
So dumb. Anyway, you can follow Brian at BTXJ, and Thor Nystrom is at ThorKU. No.
Yeah,
Thor KU.
You got it.
Yep. Thor KU. Excellent.
Rock chart.
All right, let's get into the three tough questions. We encourage you to play along.
Tough question number one.
For Dynasty Leaguers, give me somebody available that I can stash for next year. Brian.
Yeah, there's obviously not a lot left out there in most leagues. So I'm going to go, I'm going to speak to the super flex or mandatory two quarterback Dynasty Leaguers out there. And unless you're in a super deep one, Hendon Hooker should be available. Rookie quarterback for the Lions out of Tennessee. Basically didn't play all year for because of a knee injury. I almost want to put Thor on the spot because he knows a lot more about Hooker than I do, but I'm not saying he's going to take Jared Goff's job or it's going to be a quarterback competition going into next season, but you never know what could happen to Goff. And Hooker, would Hooker have been a first, second-round pick if not for the injury, Thor?
I think he would have been a second.
So yeah. Why not stash him and just see what happens in your two quarterback leagues? He should be available.
All right. He is. I like the availability part of that. All right, Thor, give me a dynasty for dynasty leaguers. Give me somebody who's largely available that I can pick up and stash for next year.
I'm also going to go with a guy who got drafted in April. I'm going with Jets running back Israel Abanaconda for this one. Mm. I think he could be the 2024 Rico Dowdle. Abanaconda, a 216-pounder who had a 9.6 RAS. In other words, tested 96 size-adjusted percentile coming in. He's also a home run hitter. I mean, like, his calling card is speed. I comped him in the pre-draft process to Tevin Coleman. Mm. Very similar game. Like, they both run upright. They get, you know, once they get into space, it's just they're looking for that straight line to the goal line, and then they just want to run as fast as they can. Abanaconda is likely to be the 1B back in the Jets backfield next year because Dalvin Cook is a free agent. Breece Hall will be RB1. In that scenario, obviously, if Breece went down, then Izzy would be getting the bell cow role. But I would also say Nathaniel Hackett historically has used two running backs.
Yeah, good point.
So Abanaconda could factor in there. And by the way, it's going to be a Jets offense that is way, way, way better next year because Mr. Aaron Rodgers is coming back and Zach Wilson's going to be banished again. So I really like Abanaconda for Dynasty, guys.
That's an interesting angle. You're kind of selling me that. They cut Michael Carter. So, you know, that tells me that they like Izzy.
For sure.
For my my answer, and we'll call it the correct answer, first, Jelani Woods, who I talk about all the time. It's a tragically lost season for him with multiple re-injuries to his hamstring. But alternately, Cincinnati running back Chase Brown looks great. In college, we saw a compact runner with great balance, footwork. He had a little bit of burst. Last year at Illinois, Brown ranked second in the country with 48 explosive plays. And what we've learned about Brown, thanks to his recent uptick in usage in Cincinnati, almost 5 yards per carry. Dude can catch. You know, he caught a bit at Illinois as well. He can catch. And you get him into space, and you got a problem on your hands. I kind of like Chase Brown here. If you believe like me, Joe Mixon is just like slowly faltering. And we don't know his Mixon's status for next year. He might not even be on this team. Chase Brown could be the lead running back for the Bengals with a Joe Burrow-led offense next season.
He's a home run hitter for sure. 9.8 RAS for Chase Brown
like
in
that.
The process this year.
All right, like that. We'll call that a correct answer.
Tough question number two.
What's the right tiebreaker in the playoffs for two teams that tie? We begin with Thor.
So I go by standings on this because I feel like
the
regular season standings, because I feel like the team that finished higher in the standings, you have de facto home field advantage. Ergo, you would get the tiebreaker on this one. So by record first, then by point scored. That's always my default tiebreaker after record.
Brian, what's the right tiebreaker for the playoffs when two teams have the same score?
I used to be a points guy because I always thought overall points was more indicative of how good your team is, as opposed to regular season record where you can get lucky or unlucky. But I'm going to go the route, and I'm not in any of these leagues. I wish I was. At least I don't think I am. But with the highest scoring bench player, if we were to tie in our Week 15 matchup, it's sort of like a hybrid best ball approach. So I would go by the highest scoring bench player, I feel, in the fair, unless you're playing in like whole point leagues, it's still hard to tie, but it's an edge case scenario. But if it happens, I'm going with the highest scoring bench player.
The most important thing is to have an established tiebreaker. You probably don't know it. Most leagues now score to the 100th place, so it's uncommon. It used to be very common. But here's the thing. I've seen friendships end over tiebreakers in the playoffs because your league didn't have a tiebreaker set up. It's a bad deal. So establish your tiebreaker now if you haven't already. Now, I don't like any tiebreaker that involves backups because your backups aren't necessarily there to score points for you. For example, if I've got Mixon, I want the Chase Brown handcuff, and that's the reason Chase Brown's on my team. I remember 1 year years ago when I was in a whole point scoring league that we used backups. And so in the championship game, I dropped everybody and just had kickers. I just had nothing but kickers as my backups to get sure points, you know, out of my backups. I mean, it's just so the backups, again, don't like the backups. The regular season. So, Thor, to your point, the better team was established over the course of the season. The regular season record, the winning percentage, the overall points. But that tells me who was better, not who is better. So, to me, it's all about the starters. I don't like the backups. I don't like the regular season. I give me the starters in this game this week. So how can I measure? When we've already tied, Thor and I have already tied, how can we do it? I use most yards of your starters. If you play with kicker and defense, just throw those out. Most leagues don't anymore. If you do, just throw those out. Most yards between my starters, because I'm trying to make the best starting lineup. Thor's trying to make the best starting lineup. Whoever had the most yards, you've got the best team this week.
I like it. Tough question number three.
That's too much math for me. That sounds like a lot of
adding.
Yeah.
Is too much math for you.
Sadly.
Wow. Did you go to Arizona State?
No, I was just an English major. Sky Uma.
Should higher seeded playoff teams be allowed to pick their opponents? Back to Brian first for this one.
No.
And so if you're do you get to pick whoever you want to play?
No, this is weird to me. I initially was like, I'm not in a league like this. And then I realized I am in a league like this. And we're in the same league. It's a best ball empire league. And I am vying for the number one seed. So I guess I'll gladly pick my opponent. But I don't know. It's just, it's a little too... It's too far off the tracks for me. Whatever analogy, metaphor you want to use, just basically no. I think it's kind of bizarre, but hey, I'll take advantage of it if presented the opportunity. But overall, I'm against it.
I remember when PPR was too far off the tracks for people. All right, Thor, should higher seeded playoff teams be allowed to pick their opponents?
So this is the first time I was ever confronted with this idea. I guess I play in two basic of leagues. This idea is incredible. And it should be implemented everywhere for numerous different reasons. First of all, the shade potential is absolutely incredible.
Massive.
That's number one. But number two, I feel like the teams that finish at the top who would have the first picks in it, they've earned that. Why wouldn't they get to pick their opponent? I love the idea all the way around.
All right, I have several thoughts. Your first, okay, some people will, the NFL doesn't work that way. I don't care. The NFL has nothing to do with this conversation.
Yeah,
honestly, this is nothing. No two things alike. Second thing, I'm the number one seed. A lot of times the team that, you know, rolled in as the sixth seed or whatever, however many teams you got in, you know, that team's hot right now. It's not like the sixth seed right now is oftentimes still a very, very good team and not the team that I want to get matched up with.
Yes.
I love that it adds new strategy. Now I got to like go through all the lineups. I got to do like projected outcomes. I got to try to figure out which opponent is going to be worse. And then if you still get it wrong, yeah. Oh.
That's why it's a given for me. I know I will always pick the wrong team, so I don't want to pick.
The league Brian and I were talking about right now, it's an empire league where if you win back-to-back years, you win this rolling pot and the whole thing ends. Last year, I'm in the championship, and I get to pick my opponent. It's a week before the championship, I guess, so I get to pick my opponent.
Mm-hmm.
I chose wrong. Got the wrong team, knocked myself out, or else I would have won the whole thing.
And if nature just run its course, you would have been the champion.
Probably. No, I don't know for sure, but probably. I had a really good team. So anyway, I think it's super fun. It adds cool new strategy. It doesn't have to be like the NFL. Let's let those highest seeded team pick their opponents.
I have a clarification question. Would the second and third teams be guaranteed a pick, or could the top team be like, I want the number two seed right away?
Yes,
round
you
one.
Could, yeah, you could do that.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, you don't have to pick like the bottom half. You can pick anybody you want if you're team one.
I love this idea.
It's super fun, isn't it?
Yeah, I love this.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. All right, let's get back to the matchups. Hey, it's me, Tampa Bay, taking on Green Bay. How about Rashad White suddenly going bell cow on us?
Yes.
I did not see that coming. Over the past 3 weeks, he's averaging 20 carries, and he's chipping in 3 receptions per game. He's scored in 5 of the 6 games. For a guy who was incapable of scoring last year and most of this year, Rashad White turning it around. Green Bay has allowed 6 rushing touchdowns to running backs in their last 5 games. White will be aided by the loss, potential loss of Packers linebacker Quay Walker if he can't go. We're going to monitor his status in this one. Packers one of 3 teams to not allow a receiving touchdown to a running back this season, and their scoreless streak goes back 19 games, so they've not given up a receiving touchdown for 19 straight games, so White will not help us that way. And that's part of why I've got a B grade on White instead of an A grade on White. To the Packer game, let's go start with Baker Mayfield. You know, even with quarterbacks Eric Stokes and J.R. Alexander injured, and then Green Bay traded away Rasul Douglas, who's been great with the Bills, the Packers have held opposing passers in check almost every week. No passer has topped 2 scores all year. Only one has topped 260 yards. On the season, Green Bay allowing the 4th lowest ADOT, average distance of throw at just 7. And I just think Baker Mayfield's overall upside very limited against what's been a shockingly competent Packers secondary despite a dearth of talent. Let's go to Mike Evans with a weird dud last week that doesn't make sense. Now, unless Alexander or Stokes come back, it leaves the combo of Valentine and Ballantyne as your outside cornerbacks once again. And they've been pretty bad over the last 5 weeks. They have bottom 50 PFF coverage grades, but they've only given up 2 scores between them. And Evans' biggest values is a red zone target where he's a top 10 wide receiver target. I can only get you to a B grade on Evans in a weirdly tough matchup. Here's your sneaky play this week. Chris Godwin is a game-time decision. He's got a knee injury. He practiced on Friday, but they've said there's still a decent chance he won't go. Trey Palmer.
Burner.
Is he ever a burner? Now, he dominates the slot usage. He runs almost 2/3 of his plays from the slot, double the slot routes from Evans and Godwin. Packers are getting dominated by slot receivers, including Wendell Robinson last week went berserk on him. Amon-Ra St. Brown before that. Keenan Allen before that. Slot receivers getting it up. Now, all those guys are a lot more polished and experienced than Trey Palmer, but you could get a breakout game from him, and if you need a dart throw, Trey Palmer. Let's go to the Green Bay side. Jordan Love coming off a bad Monday night game, but his prior 3 games were very good, and the Bucs secondary is the ideal recipe for a quick turnaround. The Bucs rank 31st in passing yards allowed, 28th in fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks. They rank 27th in coverage by Pro Football Focus. They've given up a league-worst 6 quarterback rushing touchdowns, and Love's mobility could definitely factor in here and augment this box score. Be great for Jordan Love. I'm starting Jordan Love over Patrick Mahomes in one of my guillotine leagues.
Mm.
Whew. That is going to be... That's...
Love it.
If the ship goes down on that, I'm going to feel pretty bad. All right, let's go to Jaden Reed and Romeo Doubs. Both cornerbacks for Tampa, Jamel Dean and Carlton Davis, are questionable. Follow their status. That leaves something called Zion McCollum as the only healthy outside cornerback that plays meaningful snaps. And over the last 5 weeks, he's Pro Football Focus's 15th lowest graded cornerback. So I love the matchups here. And Reed's getting carries, about 100 yards of rushing work in the last month. Both Doubs and Reed's viable against a defense that ranks 31st in yards allowed to the position. Drake London crushed Tampa last week. They've allowed 5 100-yard receiving performances in their last 6 games. Game on, Jaden Reed and Romeo Doubs with B grades in this one. Christian Watson is not expected to play. He is doubtful. We don't think he's going to go in this one. You could dart throw at Wicks.
Dontavius
Wicks, but he's also not healthy either.
Malik Heath, he scored last week.
You want to go that far? Be my guest.
No, I don't.
Now, you know what you can't do very easily on Tampa is run the ball. And A.J. Dillon's got groin injury, thumb injury. Aaron Jones is trying to come back from a knee injury. It's all bad for me. Tampa's a good run defense. They're giving up just 3.7 yards per carry since week 6. And even heavy volume backs are not getting any headway. So, like, even if Dylan or Jones, one or the other starts, it doesn't mean that they're going to have any kind of productivity here. Dylan has zero top 10 finishes this year in fantasy. And his average finish, get this, A.J. Dylan's average fantasy finish, running back 31. And he's been the lone starter with Aaron Jones missing most of the year. Jones has only two games with more than 11 touches. And my fear is every time they give Aaron Jones a bunch of work, he gets hurt. So even if Dylan is out, I don't think they're going to give Jones requisite work here. So he's on the bench too.
I don't believe, and producer Brett would know, but I don't think the Packers have had all of their offensive weapons healthy for a whole game. Because Christian Watson missed week one. No. Aaron Jones got hurt in week one.
Yeah.
And then ever since then, it's been
offensive line's been a disaster.
S-show.
Yeah.
Luke Musgrave gets hurt. Yeah. Right.
I have to scroll several times just to get through our injury report. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. It's bad news. Next year, Packers are going to be a tough team. You know, Love's going to get better. All the young receivers get better. They get all the injuries of this year. They're going to be a handful next year. When we come back, San Francisco taking on the Arizona Cardinals. Debo Samuel, the highest scoring fantasy wide receiver in the last month. Will it continue? He had a zero catch game last time these teams met. Find out when we come back.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome back. Fantasy Football Weekly, playoff week. It's also rain week. Look out for weather pre-kickoff. Anything on the East Coast has got weather. And then the Monday nighter is shaping up in Seattle. Shocking. Seattle could have cold rain in December.
It's even raining in Minnesota in December.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you got to look for the wind, too. Anything over 12 miles per hour, statistically, data-wise, going back years, it affects the passing game. And the higher you get up, the closer you get to 20, it starts to really get wonky.
Yeah. We haven't had a snow situation yet this year, which is kind of a bummer because I love snow games.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, we talk about it a lot. You know, rain and wind are bigger threats a lot of times than snow. So, you know, they're all different, but keep
snow can help offenses.
In some cases, they can.
Yeah, there's a whole thing of the snover bet, you know, we're going over on that because it's really hard for defenders to get their footing.
Oh, LeSean McCoy had one of the most epic snow game performances of all time. I believe he was with Buffalo. It might have been with Philly. I think he was with Philly in Buffalo. It was 3 feet of snow. No one's going to do anything, but he went off.
Yep.
I'll never forget the Tom Brady, 52-pointer he put up on Tennessee in a deep, deep snow game. Everybody was like, oh, I don't know if I dare start any Patriots. And they just went berserk. And I think the Titans got shut out in that game.
I would imagine Randy Moss helped out with that, right?
It might have been that era. San Francisco takes on Arizona, Brian. And as I mentioned going into the break, Debo Samuel played 85% of the snaps and had no catches in the first one. Now he comes in as fantasy football's hottest receiver.
Yeah, he's on fire. Going back a little further against the Cardinals over his last two games, So they did play once this year in week four. San Francisco won 35-16. That was the game Debo had no catches. But across his last two games against the Cardinals, he's totaled two catches for 20 scoreless yards and four carries for 10 scoreless yards. So history is not on Debo's side right now, but you're not benching Debo Samuel on the heater that he is on. So I got a B on him and a B on Brandon Ayuk, who had six catches, 148 yards in the first meeting. And more recently, Ayuk has scored and or topped 100 yards in six straight games.
Wow.
Ayuk is just an absolute steal, draft day steal back in August. Probably one of the top ones at wide receiver. Sticking with the passing game, over to George Kittle. I almost gave him a C, but I couldn't do it in the tight end wasteland. I'm going to give Kittle a B, but Kittle had just one catch for nine scoreless yards in the first meeting, and the Cardinals have held tight ends under 40 yards in five straight games, but Arizona has surrendered four tight end touchdowns during that same five-game span. So you're not going to sit Kittle. You're definitely not sitting Brock Purdy. You're going to give him a B. He attempted just 21 passes in the first meeting, but completed 20 of them for 283 yards and a touchdown. He also added a short score on the ground. Purdy is my – he's not
– my number one this week.
Yeah, he's not my real-life MVP, but he's fantasy's MVP to me right now, at least among quarterbacks based on where he's drafted. He's having a season that Patrick Mahomes should be having, Purdy is. But
Patrick Mahomes isn't having the season that Baker Mayfield's having.
No, or there's a lot of – we won't get into Mahomes right now. We'll get into a little later, right?
Yeah, but coming up shortly.
But I just have the B on Purdy because Christian McCaffrey gets the fantasy Fonzie a 177 combo yards and four total touchdowns in the first meeting. And we don't have to go into Christian McCaffrey anymore.
Nope.
Over to the Cardinals side, starting with James Conner. Going to give him a C. Conner has averaged 17 touches since his Week 10 return and remains the volume-based play regardless of matchup. But this should be tough sledding against the 49ers, who since Week 10 have the fourth lowest missed tackles per attempt, the second highest stuff rate, and have given up the second fewest rushing yards per game. But there are injuries on the defensive side for San Francisco. They're going to be without both starting defensive tackles, Eric Armstead and Javon Hargrave. Mm. They'll also be missing strong side linebacker Oren Burks. He has been ruled out, so Conner is still startable with a C. And Trey McBride, of course, is startable. Going to give him a B. He only had one catch in the first meeting, but that's because Zach Ertz saw 10 targets. So that volume should go McBride's way, but a tough matchup on paper. But again, the 49ers defense is dinged up pretty good, but San Francisco allowing less than five catches and 40 yards per game to opposing tight ends. But no way you're going to sit Trey McBride. There is a way you're going to sit Marquise Brown if you have better options. I will give him a C grade, though. He had seven catches for 96 yards in the first meeting. He should see similar volume in a likely positive game script for the Carolina passing game. I'm sorry, the Cardinals passing game. The 49ers have allowed the second most receptions to wide receivers, and San Francisco starting cornerback Charvarius Ward could miss this game with a groin injury. They're saying he's expected to play, still listed as questionable, but likely won't be 100% if he plays. So I will give Brown the starting grade with a C. And just a C for quarterback Kyler Murray, who has been pretty spotty as a passer in his four games since returning, as he hasn't thrown for multiple scores yet. But his legs have kept him relevant with a rushing touchdown in three of those four games played this year. Again, this is a tough matchup, but a lot of injuries on the San Francisco side. But one long run could save Murray's day, so you're still going to start him with a C.
All right. Washington taking on the Rams, Thor. This figures to be a one-sided affair. Washington's without Brian Robinson, who's been ruled out of this game. I don't think you're touching any part of the running game because the game script's going to be all passes for a team that only passes anyway.
Sure is. I'm giving your boy, Sam Howell, a B grade in this one. QB7 in fantasy this year. And, man, yeah, Chargers blowing the horn for him in the offseason, so I got to give you credit on that one. Sam Howell, number one in passing attempts. He is number three in air yards, and the Rams have an average pass defense. Howell's guaranteed to have the volume to attack that average defense. I'll give him a B. I will say, if you're in a desperate situation, you could start Antonio Gibson, who's stepping into the limelight with Brian Robinson out with that hamstring injury. Last week when Robinson got injured, Gibson out-touched Chris Rodriguez 14-3 before the rookie Rodriguez got the last four touches in a blowout loss.
Yeah.
I also think Gibson's going to get ample receiving targets in this game. Recall, at Memphis, Antonio Gibson was a slot receiver.
Yeah.
Terry McLaurin, I'm going to give him a C. Fantasy's wide receiver 38, but he's been trending down. McLaurin has not finished as a top 36 fantasy receiver in any week since week 9 and no touchdown since week 8.
Despite the best quarterbacking of his career. Well, at least the most prolific quarterback.
All of them, though. So Howell, sorry to interrupt, Howell's going off and
Charch, one of the greatest calls since I've been on the show by you, but how is Howell having such a good year, but McLaurin, Jahan Dotson, Curtis Samuel, they're all outside like the top 30 wide receivers.
It's because of the ball distribution, right?
Yeah.
It's throwing to so many different receivers that no one of them is piling up decent stats. Curtis Samuel's been the most fantasy relevant of the bunch.
Especially recently. That's why I'm giving him a B. His workload has been increasing as McLaurin's has been going down in terms of the targets. Since week 12, Samuel has a 25% target share and a 24% first read share. And he's averaging 83 receiving yards per game during that span. Jahan Dotson, sorry to say, you got to stay on the bench. Wide receiver 3 in Washington. Wide receiver 56 in fantasy. But, yeah, he's got to stay on the bench. Logan Thomas, though, I'm going to give him a B. There's a chance for a big bounce-back game for him after he had only 2 catches in the last 2 games combined before the bye. But Logan Thomas had 5 tight end 1 weeks earlier this season, and the Rams are number 3 in fantasy points allowed to tight ends. Moving to the Rams, Matthew Stafford, which was charged as take a chance on me guy, which I totally agree with. I was going to give him an A in this one.
Oh, I have an A grade on him.
Yeah, 23-plus fantasy points in 3 straight. I think he gets to 4 in this one against that horrid Washington pass defense. Puka Nacua, my boy. I got to give myself the peacock on that one. Great A, of course. Fantasy's wide receiver 11. He's your fantasy MVP, Puka Nacua. Mm. And, of course, a rookie of the year. 7-plus targets in every single game this year. By the way, needs to average 86 receiving yards per game in the last 4 games to break Jamar Chase's rookie record.
Ooh.
I think he's topping 100 in this one.
I do, too.
Commanders ranked dead last in defensive dropback EPA. Truly, truly rancid pass defense. Cooper Kupp, I'm also going to give him an A in this one because it's just such a great matchup. Wide receiver 27 in fantasy points per game. Last 2 games, averaging 7 catches for 77 yards and a touchdown. Again, awesome matchup. And particularly for guys coming out of the slot like Kupp is, Washington is dead last in defending slots since the halfway point of the season. Tyler Higbee, I'm going to give him a grade C if he plays. He missed last week with the neck injury. Has returned to practice as a full participant as of Thursday. So I expect him to play, but you have to monitor that. Boomer bust tight end 2 this week. So I'll give him a grade of C there. And then Kyren Williams, I've given everyone on the panel credit until Brian at this point. Brian, shout out to you for the Kyren Williams one.
Thank you.
Great A, another great A matchup for Kyren in this one. He's RB2 in fantasy points per game, averaging 143 total yards per game since his return. Washington's run defense has been circling the toilet ever since the trades, in particular of Chase Young and Montez Sweat.
Yeah.
Anyone can run on them. Kyren gets dang near 100% of the snaps. He's going to go off again.
Chiefs take on the Patriots. This won't take long. Let me ask you this. Okay, so the Chiefs have this weird emotional thing at the end of last week's game. Do you think that's going to spark a resurgence? Is this like the emotional spark that they needed?
I don't think so.
I don't either.
Something seems off with them. And then Mahomes complaining about it. It's like, bro, he was clearly offsides. I don't know. What are you talking about?
I didn't like it. I don't think this is going to be the spark, but some do.
They've been whining about it all week, too.
I think move on. Travis Kelce's more motivated because he couldn't attend Taylor Swift's birthday party. So now he's really got to make up for that. He's promised her 4 touchdowns.
I've moved Kelce down to a B grade. First time this year. I had already moved Mahomes down a couple of times. This is the first B grade for Kelce. Here's why. Only getting 20% of Patrick Mahomes' red zone targets. What the hell? Come on. 80% is going somewhere other than Travis Kelce.
Weird.
That's absurd. New England's been an elite tight end defense this year, allowing the 4th fewest fantasy points to tight ends and an average of just 29 yards to tight ends in the last 6 games. What's more, 1 tight end has scored against the Patriots all year. B grade, Travis Kelce. B grade, Patrick Mahomes. Belichick rallying his secondary back to excellent status. They had suffered that loss of Christian Gonzalez earlier in the year and Matthew Judon in the same game, and they struggled for about a month. Then this past month or so, they've been much better. Over the last 5 weeks, they've given up the 6th fewest passing yards, just 197 per game, and just 2 passing touchdowns in 5 weeks. Mm. That's all. For everything that's gone wrong with the Patriots, it's not the defense. So just the B grade. I'm Patrick Mahomes. Rashee Rice comes in with a B grade. He's hauled in at least 7 catches in 3 straight games. He's establishing himself as the go-to wideout. He's averaging 81 yards and 2 scores in those 3 games. Rice is top 10 in the league in red zone looks with 17 this year, and he's got a massive 77% completion rate on those red zone passes. But the Patriots only give up one passing touchdown per game to all positions. Rice runs from the slot the most often, where he's going to face off against cornerback Miles Bryant. In a slightly plus matchup, Bryant gives up an 82% catch rate, which is promising. B-grade Rashee Rice. And the running game's on the bench here, in part because Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Jerick McKinnon split carries, but also because it's been a great Patriots run defense all year. They rank third by Pro Football Focus, fifth in run stuff win rate. Don't start those guys. On the New England side, there's only one startable player. That's Ezekiel Elliott, who got 91% of the snaps last week. And with no other running back logging a rushing attempt, seven straight opposing runners have underperformed their season averages against Kansas City. Zeke, frankly, has not looked good. He's averaging just 3.7 yards per carry and negative rushing yards over expectation. He's eighth worst in yards over expectation. The Chiefs allow 4.8 yards per carry, so there's an opportunity, but I don't love Zeke here, and I can only get you to a C grade. The entire passing game's on the bench for the Patriots. Obviously, Bailey Zappi looked much improved last week, but Kansas City's pass defense is very good, and I see a big regression coming, even if DeMario Douglas returns. Six of the last eight quarterbacks to face Kansas City, zero or one passing touchdown. We're going to leave all those guys. Nobody's playoff worthy from the Patriots passing game.
The first Monday night football game in history to be flexed out of Monday night, I believe, was this game.
Oh, was it?
So
yeah,
goes you're right. I think to show right how excited you should be about this game.
Yep. And they moved the Chiefs on Monday night.
That takes a lot.
That says a lot. When we come back, Dallas and Buffalo, a signature game for this week. Points galore is how it feels. We'll find out if Brian agrees when we come back.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Final segment of the first week of the playoffs, Fantasy Football Weekly. Back to the matchups, including a biggie, Dallas Cowboys at Buffalo Bills. Brian, what do you think on this game? Let's start with Tony Pollard, if you don't mind.
No.
Yeah, let's start with
going.
The running game here. I'm less enthused about him than I have been the past few weeks. What do you think?
Yeah, not the best matchup for Pollard, but Pollard has salvaged his season over the last month. Should have had a touchdown for the fourth straight game last week, but was vultured by Rico Dowdle yet again. But a tough matchup for Pollard here against the Bills, who have only allowed two running backs to reach 70 rushing yards over their last seven games. But Buffalo has allowed the fourth most receptions and receiving yards to running backs. So I like that for Pollard. So he gets a B. Obviously like CeeDee Lamb. Nay, love CeeDee. A, not getting into that anymore.
Don't have to.
He's going to flame Teron Johnson in the slot.
He's my number one ranked wide receiver this week.
As for the other wide receivers, Brandon Cooks and Michael Gallup, I have them both on the bench. Gallup, the more obvious bench. Some might consider starting Cooks, but Cooks has cooled considerably as of late. And since week 9, Buffalo has the fourth highest rate of too high. And since week 8 against too high, Cooks has disappeared with only a 7.4% target share and 0.75 yards per route run. That is not a lot. And that stat is courtesy of Derek Brown of Fantasy Pros. A great stat there. So I'm benching Cooks. Not benching Jake Ferguson, though. He gets a B. Fergie now leads all tight ends in red zone targets. And the Bills have yielded the third most red zone targets in goal-to-go scenarios. And the Bills haven't faced any tight ends of note recently, so their numbers aren't scary, except for a guy named Travis Kelce, who they saw last week. He saw 10 targets for 6 catches, 83 yards. That's hopefully a safe floor for Ferguson here. And Dak Prescott, an A for him. Safety Michael Hyde, week to week with a neck injury for Buffalo. He's unlikely to play. Bodes even better for Dak, so an easy A for him. Over to the Buffalo side, starting with James Cook. He gets a C with Joe Brady as the new offensive coordinator. Cook has averaged 19 touches for 114 combo yards per game. He has been on a major upswing, but this is a tough matchup. The Cowboys allowing only 100 combo yards per game to opposing running backs. That's the third fewest. So just a C for Cook and just a B for Stephon Diggs. Here's Diggs' fantasy finishes over his last 4 games.
Yeah, this is not good.
Wide receiver 53, wide receiver 16, wide receiver 53, wide receiver 55. Those are not the 50 burgers we are looking for from Stephon Diggs.
No.
And unfortunately, this isn't a bounce-back spot necessarily. But saving grace here is number one wide receivers have had good games against Cowboys over the last 2 weeks. A.J. Brown had 9 catches for 94 yards. And D.K. Metcalf, well, he had a great game. He had 6 catches for 134 yards and 3 touchdowns. Hopefully, Diggs can settle somewhere in the middle of those two stat lines. But either way, you're not going to bench him. Gabe Davis, going to give him a C, as in see you in hell if you start him. So that's not a letter grade. That's S-E-E. You cannot trust Gabe Davis in the playoffs here. So he is on the bench. Dalton Kincaid is not, though. You give him a C.
Oh, I'm worried about him. With Knox back, he did nothing last week.
He did nothing, but he still ran roughly 70% of the routes. Over the last 5 games, the Cowboys have allowed just 37 yards per game to opposing tight ends. That is not good either, but I'm more concerned about the Cowboys than I am Dawson Knox. But if you have a better option than Kincaid, certainly start him, but most do not. So I'm still going to give him a C in this shootout. And lastly, Josh Allen gets a B. Outside of the Geno Smith experience in week 13, the Cowboys have surrendered just one passing touchdown across their last 3 games. But Allen is going to get it done with his arms and legs here. But there's hope for that. 5 of the last 6 quarterbacks to face Dallas have rushed for at least 30 yards and or a touchdown.
Thor, it's always tricky with Lamar Jackson because sometimes the Ravens play a great game and then he passes for 180 yards and he runs for 40 and he doesn't score any touchdowns and your team sunk. But, man, Jacksonville's a juicy opponent, and I've got him ranked inside my top 5 at the quarterback position this week. I think it's game on.
Absolutely. A big game's coming for him. That Jags allow the 3rd most fantasy points per game to opposing quarterbacks, and Jackson's obviously been great. QB1 last week in fantasy. Also giving an A to his top receiver, Zay Flowers. Get this, since Mark Andrews went down, Flowers has run every single route that the Ravens have had with an eye-opening 26% target share. Got to keep starting him. Isaiah Likely, I give him a B. The last 2 weeks, he's been tight end 18 and tight end 3 in fantasy, and this is a great matchup. The Jaguars allow the 8th most fantasy points per game and the 2nd highest yards per reception to opposing tight ends. Keaton Mitchell, my boy, give him a B. So it is tough to predict his workload. Last week, he only played 33% of the snaps. But because he's a home run hitter, he accrues the yards anyways. Last week, he had 62 total yards and just ridiculously efficient. 6 yards after contact per attempt in the NFL as a rookie.
Wow.
He's going to light up the Jaguars because they're really bad at what he is best at. Jaguars are dead last in explosive run rate allowed since week 9, and that's what Keaton is, a home run hitter. Moving over to the Jags, Trevor Lawrence, I got a C grade on him. Ankle injury very clearly still hampering him. Can't scramble, can't throw on run, you pen him in. Really can't drive into his throws. Lawrence had a brutal 47.8 PFF passing grade last week, 5.1 yards per attempt, 3 interceptions, and the matchup is quite bad.
Yeah.
The Ravens allow an NFL low 5.6 yards per attempt, and they lead the NFL with 49 sacks.
Yeah, it's
pretty
a bad
good combination.
Combo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm also going to give Calvin Ridley a grade of C. Only 4 catches for 53 yards last week. Obviously, Lawrence was compromised. Going to be another down game with the Ravens' elite pass defense coming in here. Ridley will be opposed by Marlon Humphrey, the stud. Humphrey is number 6 in yards allowed per coverage snap. So not looking good there. You could start Zay Jones if you're desperate. 25% target share last 2 games with Christian Kirk out. He also averages more than 1 deep target and 1 red zone target per game. But, of course, the Ravens' pass defense tempers the expectations, as they do for Evan Engram. I also give him a C, fantasy tight end 6, and coming off a really big week. He's number 2 in receptions and number 5 in receiving yards among tight ends over the entire season. But, again, bad matchup. Ravens allow the 5th fewest fantasy points per game to opposing tight ends. Lastly, Travis Etienne, I give him a B.
Mm-hmm.
RB6 in fantasy for the season.
Yeah, but lately it's not as good.
Lately not as good. He's only averaging 68 total yards per game since week 10. This is, though, in my opinion, a sneaky solid matchup for Etienne in this one, just because the Jaguars, I think, are going to run funnel to avoid that awesome Ravens secondary.
Yeah, volume will be there for Etienne for sure.
Yeah.
Just the explosive plays haven't been the same.
No.
Yeah, and it's I don't know if he's just wearing down over the course of a long season or whatever the case is, but that part's been disappointing. The Monday nighter is Philadelphia at Seahawks. Rain expected, but not much you're going to be able to do about it by Monday night. A.J. Brown is an obvious A. Devonta Smith, though, is a much more tricky play. Over the last 5 weeks, Seattle's allowed the 5th most touchdowns per game to opposing receivers, which is good. And Seattle's cornerbacks, Trey Brown, Devin Witherspoon, Artie Burns, all questionable for this game. And if they're going to miss, you know, it could be game on for Devonta Smith with a really nice game here. What worries me a little bit is Dallas Goedert coming back. When Goedert was in earlier in the season, Smith wasn't doing much. And when Goedert went out, Smith's productivity and fantasy points went way up. Goddard's back. That worries me a bit. I've got a B grade on Smith. If those cornerbacks don't go, we'd up him to an A. Again, it's Monday night. Can't do anything about it at that point. But, yeah, we'd up him to an A in that scenario. Dallas Goedert, for himself, right back to the huge workload. He got 84% of the tight end snaps last week, but it only materialized into 4 catches. Second game off injury should be better for Dallas Goedert. Seahawks are a bottom 10 team against tight end receptions and tight end yards allowed, including big games from George Kittle, Jake Ferguson the past 2 weeks. Goedert averaging just 1 red zone target per game. And that really caps his upside. They just don't throw to him anywhere near the stripe. So I can only get you to a C grade on Dallas Goedert in this one. So where does that leave Jalen Hurts? We've talked about everybody else so far in the passing game that matters. He looks increasingly hurt, battered, tired. He's thrown 0 or 1 passing touchdown in 3 of the last 4 games. Fortunately, I love the matchups for A.J. Brown. I like it for Devonta Smith. I mentioned the injuries to the secondary. And 3 mobile quarterbacks to face Seattle. Daniel Jones early in the season, Josh Dobbs, and then Lamar Jackson, all top 43 rushing yards. So I've still got a B grade on Jalen Hurts. There's a lot of big range of outcomes here, and there is some danger with Hurts this week. Let's go to DeAndre Swift, quietly murdering fantasy owners the past basically 2 months. He's gone 2 straight games without a broken tackle. He has not passed 80 rushing yards since week 3. He has 1 touchdown in his last 7 games. That's all DeAndre Swift is getting you. And I think people have just been throwing him in the lineup and just forgetting about it because he's DeAndre Swift and he's the starting running back for the Eagles. It has not really been working out for him at all. Fortunately, Seattle's allowing the 6th most fantasy points per game to opposing backfields. They rank 21st in run defense by Pro Football Focus. They've allowed 28 receptions to running backs in their last 5 games, but they're not even throwing to Swift that much anymore. Gainwell's getting more catches, and they're just not. And now with Goedert back, that's that many fewer catches to go to Swift. I can only get you to a C grade on DeAndre Swift. Let's go over to Seattle. A grade for DK Metcalf because of his scoring prowess, and a B grade for Tyler Lockett, and I'll talk about both of them here. Both excellent matchups against the Eagles' formerly formidable cornerbacks, Darius Slay and James Bradbury. Man, for 2 guys who were just shut down cornerbacks last year, they've regressed all the way down to PFF grades of 48th and 102nd in coverage by Pro Football Focus. The Eagles allow the 2nd most yards to wide receivers, 193 per game. They've allowed multiple wide receiver touchdowns in 5 of the last 6. So both guys could score. I like both Metcalf and Lockett. Lockett's only got the 2 touchdowns on the season, I think, and that's why I can't get him to an A. But both, you know, Metcalf's a lock A, and I like Lockett here too. You know who else I like? Jaxon Smith-Njigba running out of the slot. A very positive matchup against Bradley Roby. He ranks as Pro Football Focus's 86th cornerback. Although I'll note he has not allowed a touchdown in his coverage, so which is good. He's played 6 games, no touchdowns allowed. Philadelphia allows the most fantasy points to slot receivers. That's why Jackson Smith and Jigba B grade on this one. So if I've got A's and B's on all the receivers, I got to like Drew Lock and Geno Smith. I've got B grades on whoever ends up starting in this game. Six straight quarterbacks have thrown multiple touchdowns. Granted, most of them really good quarterbacks because the Eagles have played a murderous row of teams. Lock threw two touchdowns in last week's start. And Lock always throws some bad passes. I mean, that's part of his deal.
He looked pretty good, though.
But I thought overall he did look pretty good. Game plan is going to tilt heavily towards the pass here. So if you're in a pinch, and by the way, the Eagles see the most pass attempts, 40 per game. Even Drew Lock, you give him 40 tries, he's going to get you to a couple of touchdowns in this one. I like him here. The running backs, Zach Charbonnet, Kenneth Walker, splitting touches evenly every week. That's going to continue, and it makes it a really risky play against a very good Eagles run defense. Since mid-October, the only running back to score on the Eagles is Christian McCaffrey, and that's not Zach Charbonnet and Kenneth Walker here. Philly gives up just 3.9 yards per carry. They haven't allowed a receiving touchdown all year to a running back. There's nothing to like from those guys here.
So you got him on the bench?
Got him on the bench. Bench grades for both guys. If it was just one of them, I could see moving one to a C.
Agreed.
But splitting it up, I can only get you to a C. Hey, best of luck in the fantasy playoffs, everybody. Obviously, if you're the kind of listener to the show, we want you to win more than your opponent, unless that guy's also a listener. And then we want you to tie. And then we want you to go to the tiebreaker that I gave you in three tough questions and the only one I gave you. We'll be back next week for round two of the playoffs, everybody. Best of luck in the first round this week. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.